Motorcycle Garage, Motorcycles and Misfits, episode 4. We've got a packed house tonight. We've got me, Liza. We've got Nock.
Hey.
We've got Lucas.
Yep.
We've got David.
Yep.
Douglas.
Yep.
John.
Present.
Megan.
Hi.
Eason.
Hello.
Adrian.
Sort of present.
And Zoe.
Hey.
We got so much to talk about this week. We went on a ride last night with the Vampires Led ride through the mountains at night. I think everyone here was on it.
No, it was fun.
Who should have been?
Who should have been on it? But yeah. So Doug, you want to start with the ride report since you led the ride?
It was fun.
That was good. Moving on. No, what else?
It went pretty smoothly. My brights on the bike I was on was not as good as I thought it was going to be. I was on the DRZ 400. And I had Justin behind me, and still could not see the crest of the turn. So, didn't go quite as fast as I wanted to, but...
I was behind Chaz at one point, and he was struggling in the corners after he lost the person in front of him. So I thought, I'll get closer to him so we'll have lights. I can see him. He was like, just go!
Yeah, it's better just to follow somebody.
In front of you, and the light's blending you, so you can see what's in front of you, but then your eyes haven't adjusted to the actual light, so when you go into the corner and the person behind you hasn't, it's pitch black. Yeah, so that's why true. It's...
Yeah. You get a nice black shadow where everyone wants to see.
Yeah.
And you guys have all been on rides as vampires before. Your first time?
First time.
It's my first time, too.
Yes, and Lucas, okay, cool. Yeah. Oh,
several die.
Well,
then it was not a success.
No, there was a death. There was a death.
How was
it was
a Day of the Dead ride,
Vicky's
of all things.
Boyfriend?
No, last night there was a death.
I think Vicky's boyfriend.
Oh, the Adam. Oh, wait.
Yeah.
That's a different death. Sorry, no.
Vicky's boyfriend hit a raccoon.
No,
I think he hit a raccoon.
Possum?
No.
Then we're taught. Then there might have been two deaths.
No.
Yeah. There.
What was that?
It was a cat.
Oh no! Oh god! I wish I didn't know that.
It looked me right in the eyes as I looked at it. Eyes were glowing and panicked as I rode by. I wanted to go back.
Oh.
Well, that's why I asked the people in the end of the pack, and they said it was still spasming.
Oh.
And I thought,
oh. Well, we like not be admitting this.
I thought it limping.
I thought it was a raccoon, and I didn't care.
That.
So
you just put a cattle grate, a little tiny one, on the
just like, I'll just punt it out of the way.
You said it.
It was like smeared on the road.
Yeah.
Oh, god damn, like that's
like,
graphic.
Like he was trying to get up, but it couldn't. So
oh, wow.
Yeah, I felt horrible.
The V-Stromo's a really good light, so.
It feels like HD real life.
It was dark colored. That's why I knew it wasn't a raccoon or a possum, because it was like a dark brown or a black cat.
How far into the ride was it?
That was almost in the beginning.
Because I remember I saw something like right next to my bike on the left, and I thought I was going to hit it, but I didn't, and I don't know what it was.
Yeah, because you were in. It was somebody in the front pack hit it.
I was like third.
I think.
Or fourth.
I was like sixth. And
I think
I went
Vicky's boyfriend Jason fessed up to hitting it.
Yes, yeah. He did.
He did at dinner that night.
Yeah.
He fessed up to hitting it.
But he thought it was a possum.
He thought it was a raccoon.
I thought it was a possum.
Like a raccoon, yeah. Anyway.
He thought it was a raccoon.
Well, I'm sure you didn't have a whole lot of time to see it.
Yeah.
But this does bring up a little general rule of thumb about animals and motorcycles. Because, you know, at night you have deer and pigs and stuff jumping out in the road. The general rule of thumb is if you would cook it and serve it at a party for your friends, you should not avoid it if it can only feed like three people.
Was it like it fits on a dinner plate?
Yeah, if it fits on a dinner plate, go for it. If you're really fucking... If you could, like, get a t-shirt by eating the whole thing at a restaurant, run it over.
Here's what I learned in the South.
If you're afraid to... If you're afraid it would hurt your car, try to avoid it.
When you're going home at night, if there's roadkill, you spray it with some spray paint and mark it. So when you're going to work in the morning...
You pick it up.
It has no paint, pick it up. It's fresh.
Wait, why would you... Why would you paint it? Why don't you just pick
so
it up?
So you know which ones
dead?
Have been there
yeah.
all day.
If it's been there for 2 days or a day or something like that. So it's, you know that one was the fresh one.
Wow.
But in terms of like approaching them, again, if it's small, hit the gas. It's you know the same thing you do on almost anything.
When
in doubt, hit the gas. Because you'll lighten the front and hopefully not jar as much as you go over it.
Hit it with one wheel instead of two?
Yeah.
One wheel instead of two. And if it's your rear wheel, better than your front, because if your front goes out, you're screwed.
Yeah.
And also, it lightens it up. And the mythical splitting of deer, it does happen. You need to get
yeah.
velocity and keep your front light, and you can actually split deer, cow, and the rest.
Aim for the tummy.
And yes, aim for the soft spots.
Because there's just that spine. If you can sit the spot that's only spine, not hip and not ribs, you're better off. And this also works for humans. If you're in a motorcycle race, don't hit the brakes as you're running someone over, because you're going to hurt them. If you let go of the brakes and just roll over the top, you're going to do much less damage to someone.
I'll keep that in mind. Thank you, John. Yeah.
And if you have sport bikes, you have a better chance. Because you're a bit more aerodynamic, less stuff to pull off and cause you to swerve all over.
See, I find, like, I've hit something on my CB750, and when you have a nice heavy bike, hardly feel it. You just go right through. Yeah.
I see that.
So the other casualty we had last night, well, the biggest casualty was my bike borrowed by David, who crashed. Now, Easton and Adrian, you were behind him?
Yes.
Yeah, we were like right behind him.
You want to tell your version?
To clarify for the podcast purposes, this is the other David.
Oh, yes, yes, that's right. Sorry, David.
Yes. Not this voice.
Different David. Yeah, I mean, he was going around a turn. He was sort of hauling ass on a really old bike. No offense to Liza, but he was going a little bit too fast for his bike.
Which, by the way, I told him,
which,
you don't have the brakes or suspension to keep up. Yeah. Take it slow. And Douglas, what did he say to you?
He said, well, Liza told me to go kind of slow, but I'm going to see if I can get up there and towards the front and just see if I can just go a little faster. And I told him...
That's the spirit.
First thing I told him was that I was like, dude,
good man,
it's not your bike.
To be 17.
Yeah. Yep,
and play with fire.
It's only Liza's favorite bike.
Yeah.
Anyways, don't give a fuck that you borrowed.
It was an uphill turn.
Don't let John borrow my bike.
Yeah, so
anyway,
what did you
American.
Say?
I saw him go around the turn, and then on that whole turn, there was gravel on the side of the road.
Yeah.
And I see him lock up the brakes. He goes, like, he flip-flops a little bit, and then just... low sides it. So
I heard it was a high side.
Really?
Yeah. I heard that
it
he locked
like
the rear brake and then that threw him over the front.
I didn't see him go over the front, but it's possible.
Yeah. From my perspective, it was he was going through a left hander, easy curve. There was gravel on the side, but that's not actually what did it.
Really?
Locked up. I went back and looked at the skid.
Uh-huh.
He locked up the rear a bit beforehand, skidded sideways. So he's going a left hand turn and his rear walks out to the right. He keeps going, and he pulls the bike in from the fishtail to the left, and he overcompensates, so he's now going a little bit too far to the left. And if he had kept the rear wheel broken free, he could have pulled the fishtail back into center line and continued the corner. However, the rear wheel locked up on him, or caught traction, basically, and popped him up. It was 25 mile per hour high side, so it wasn't an epic one that really catapulted him, but he did go up and over because of it. And that's why the bike slammed down to the left and cracked the left crankcase. He went flying up. Apparently he's been doing dirt for a couple years, so he knew how to crash.
Here's his report to me. He goes, I knew I went in too fast. I put on the brake. The thing skidded. I let off the brake to try and get control. Next thing I know, I'm Superman flying through the air, hands first. He said, I put my hands out, but then I knew I didn't want to break my hands, so I kind of pulled my hands back and took it on my elbows because he had his gear. And he said he was sliding on his stomach and said, ouch, so he flipped over to his back.
Smart.
Like I said, he knows how to
break. I'll let that take it. And then he said he just popped right up. He said he was alone at the time, but yeah.
We were pretty close behind him.
I had to lock up my rear a little bit to slow down.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw him go down at least. I guess I didn't have the best vision.
Yeah, well, he's okay, and all he got is a scrape.
That's true.
For the record.
All I got was a scrape on his hand. His gear did the job. Though it's funny, when he came here, he goes, "I know I need a new helmet. Like, my helmet took abuse. It was just shaking." We looked at it. We couldn't find a scratch on it.
Yeah, that's the first thing I did. The crash was because he ripped off his own helmet, which I would have stopped if I could have been there in time. But his helmet was fine. Did the gear? He was perfectly fine.
Yeah.
And passed concussion check and all that.
Oh, to be so.
It's like he just got thrown out of a club or something. Just,
yeah.
Mike gave him the boost.
But it was a good ride. He picked a good route. We have, of course, the best roads. Do you all live here in Snickers?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so we have the best roads.
Pretty awesome.
I mean, we were doing a pretty good clip a lot of the time. Mm-hmm.
Some of those roads are kind of horrible awesome, where
it's
just shit, crap,
really technical.
And they're technical, and that's what makes them kind of fun. So, yeah, man.
But the thing that's nice is that we can go do these rides
and not
really have a lot of cars to deal with. And I don't like Chaz was riding in front of me hauling ass.
He was hauling
crossed
ass.
Crossed the line a couple times, he had oops. But he outrode his bike, let's put it that way.
He does that very often, though.
Yeah,
I wrote his common sense.
Nighthawk 700 with a duct tape seat. Yeah.
Liza's favorite seat ever.
Yeah. He was slamming it.
I hate that seat. But it was a good ride. Thanks for leading it.
Thanks.
And
thanks for appreciating it. Fun pace.
Except for a cat and my motorcycle. So another topic I wanted to bring up is road etiquette. Things like the wave. Who do you wave to? Like, personally, I won't wave to mopeds or scooters. I'm sorry.
They don't normally wave back either.
They're like, what are they doing?
Wave back, yeah. Or they're really excited that someone is waving to them.
Yeah. I will just, the one time, these new scooters look like sport bikes
they
in the
do.
Front.
Uh-huh.
And I put my hand out, and I saw a scooter, and I turned it to a.
Damn!
Cool.
You gotta do
that.
Yeah. Two wheels and a motor. That's all that matters.
Well, that, I mean, that's personally my thing.
I'm sort of the opposite, and like I'll wave to anything and anyone. Like if I'll wave to a scooter, I'll wave to a moped, I'll wave to a motorized bicycle.
I see someone on the side. Cops.
I'll wave to the cops.
I wave. There are a couple of cops here.
Zoe, don't you wave to ambulances?
Yeah, I wave to ambulances.
There you go.
Just for the off chance, one day I'll be on the side of the road and they'll be saving my life. Also, Segways. I wave to the Segway. Oh my
god. Wave to wheels.
Yeah, and they wear the helmet.
If I saw someone I go up the edge of the road a lot. If I see, you know, like bicyclists, they're going like if they're going down pretty fast, like I'll wave at them. I don't care.
Yeah,
like,
whatever. Truck drivers are pretty receptive.
Yeah.
Truck drivers. Just,
all right, David. Since you're a newer rider, what wave do you use?
Depends on who I'm waving at.
Show me.
Well, if it's a big guy, give him a
heads
up.
You do the head.
If
do you do the above the shoulder wave?
No, it's a peace sign.
Peace sign.
Okay. Yeah, actually, if I see a sport bike or a Harley, I'll give them a peace sign. If I see another adventure rider and I want to be strong, I will stand up and give them a salute.
Totally throw them off.
We're talking like opposing riding, waving.
Yeah.
Does anybody wave to other riders when they pass them the same?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Especially around a turn. You stick your outside leg out and wave with your foot. Going around the outside of them on a turn.
I always do the hang loose with my, like, you know, again, leaned over in the corner, passing them. Just like, hey, hang loose.
Yeah, if you could pass them with one hand, yeah, that's just like whatever. Just, you know, that's okay.
Okay, so I have to admit,
that's good
I think
too.
That, like, there's alpha, and there's like a hierarchy in motorcycling. And it's
because people can't see this. Liza's doing the Vogue
does
right now.
The least amount of effort to communicate the wave. That's the cooler. You're the cooler.
If you just lift the fingers off the clutch,
you don't take your hand off
then
the handle.
It's kind of like I guess you're there.
You can't see that.
That's the point.
So it's a little twist. If I just do the finger and they take hand off, I won.
So the reason I do the salute thing is precisely because people like Liza think that. Like, I'm going out of my way to specifically reject the hierarchy, right?
So instead of using the rock, paper, scissors, you use dynamite.
Exactly.
Yeah, you bring it's a new weapon.
Like, oh, you're so cool, like, with your lifting your fingers off? Well, I'm just going to stand up on my bike and, like, I'll take both hands up.
And I had the idea recently to come up with, so you don't have to take your hand off the handlebars, have this attachment on your... on your wrist that you can put your finger and it'll just flap out.
No.
That segment was sponsored by BMW Motorrad.
They come with a button that automatically waves for you, I think.
It takes so long to wave because you can never find it.
So do you guys all wave at Harleys?
I do.
Yeah.
Sure.
A lot of them are really surprised when waving at them. And then I always get a wave like 10 feet closing distance because they're like, oh, this guy's waving at me and he's on a sport bike. Maybe it's because I have a GoPro, like a really obviously mounted GoPro, and they're showing off or something, but...
I was out in the middle of nowhere and saw another motorcycle. It was like the first other person I'd seen in like 45 minutes. Yeah. I waved at this Harley and he flipped me off. I was so pissed, I almost turned around and chased him down. And remember when I borrowed your Harley?
Yeah, the Harley, yeah.
Yeah, of course no sport bikes are waving to me, right?
Right.
I got a girl following me on my motard, right? We passed like four motards. None of them waved to me. They all waved to her. Bastards.
Well, when I had my chopper, Jason took it for a ride. He's used to Harley's not waving at him on his Beamer. So he said, so I'm out on your chopper. I had this big custom chopper, crazy front end and everything. He said he saw a group of Harleys, so he waved, thinking that they'll wave back. And they ignored him and looked the other way. And he says, what's up with that? They wouldn't even wave to me on a chopper. I went, no, because you're on a chopper and they're on Harleys. That means your dick is bigger.
Either that or they don't want to let their hands off the handlebars because something will fall off.
No, that's true. I rode your chopper too, and none of the Harley guys would even look at me.
Right.
Like in stoplights. They're across the street, they're just looking the other way.
Exactly.
Over there.
Shun.
I know.
Except for the new chopper guy who's like, what's up, bro?
I know.
I never used to wave. No matter what, people will wave. If you just keep your chest out.
Your chest.
Yeah, you have a very nice chest.
Well, no, it doesn't matter. You're wearing a jacket. Chest out, anyone will wave at you.
Yeah, my jacket's very flattering.
Yeah, there you go.
That's the thing. I don't know why the Harley guys are so rude.
They always wave at me. I don't know. I get waved at by everyone. Maybe it's because I'm a girl.
Because you got the long hair coming out back.
And I've got the pigtails coming out from under my helmet.
You got a free drink at a bar? Anybody ever offer to pay your rent?
Not yet. Everyone waves to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get waved up to a lot.
I don't really get the Harley waves.
Yeah.
Chest out.
Maybe it's because I'm a really vigorous waver. I'm like, hi!
That's the newbie wave. If you lift your hand above your shoulder, it says, hi, I just started riding.
Yeah, because really, if you're lifting your hand above your shoulder, you need to be giving a signal to the person.
I just like the vigorous wave.
Or there's shit on the road, you know. Something like that.
Yeah. Actually, this one's about the etiquette. The cock wave, or the tapping the helmet that people do, that has saved my ass innumerable times.
Yeah. Well, same okay, here. So speaking
also,
of that...
Also, fuck you who didn't tap me.
let me ask, okay, so, all right, David, I'm picking you on you again as a newer rider. So you know what tapping the head means, right?
I don't, no.
Okay.
Oh. Go ahead and tell me.
So that's how we signal each other that there's a cop ahead. Keep an eye out for a cop.
Right on.
Okay?
Not the side, just the top.
Top side,
the
taps.
Back of the head.
Yeah.
Some people do a fist on top.
Some sort of this motion like that.
Anywhere on the helmet, it's pretty much, you gotta assume.
Once people do like the hand, like slow down hand motion.
Yeah.
That's usually for crashes and things that you should be aware of, like gravel and just slow down. Slow down.
Yeah.
But yeah, tapping the head or the back of the head, like, dope, sort of thing is.
Doug and I got saved by someone tapping their head not too long ago.
Yeah, it was on the Ninja with her on the back, and we were speeding on 17, and a car bike coming tapped his helmet. I slowed down. The Prius that was next to us jetted ahead. On the right hand sweeping turn, sure enough, the next turn this cop pulls his Prius over, And we just keep continuing on our way. It was cool. Just all it does is one little simple head tap. We slowed down to speed limit and got saved. That's happened numerous times.
Yeah, so now it's Debbie, you know, too, if you, like, if you're up on Skyline or something, there's always cops up there.
Yeah,
well, I'm always checking for cops.
Every
cop point on 17, I ride that so often.
Now, do you know what this means, showing you the five fingers over and over?
It's awesome.
Yep. You're talking too much. It means you're talking too much.
Talking too much.
That means your blinker's on.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So that's another thing when we're doing group rides. There's always somebody with their blinker on. You might do it, you know, behind your back or over, but that means your blinker's on.
This translates so well to sound for people that can't see or do the motion.
You're just basically opening and closing your fist.
For people who know ASL, it's more like milk sign.
That didn't help.
Squeezing an udder.
So, are there any other signals that you guys?
Yeah, if
people
there's
listening to this, they have the internet. They can work on.
If there's a giant pothole in the road or gravel in the road, you stick your leg out over it.
Yes.
To warn the people behind you.
Point down.
Yeah.
I do that for gravel and shit too.
So you stick your foot off.
I did that on the ride last night a lot.
Or there's something on the ground. If there's a dead squirrel, you just put your foot out.
You try to get off.
No, you kick into the person behind you.
Yep.
Or kicking.
So, John, you weren't kidding when you have your leg out and you pass someone? That's an actual signal.
No. That's actually a wave. That's that's like an English kind of
acknowledgement.
You're slow and I'm passing you.
Yeah.
Here's my wave.
He's taking my the lowest person wins. The lowest wave wins, and he's cheating.
No, but that's legitimately something I do. Anyway.
Are there any other signals?
I have, like, I don't know if anyone else does it, but I have, like, a behind wave, you know, or, like, a lot of sport bike riders do the, like, the scoop and the fly kind of wave, you know, where they just, like, take one hand off the clip-ons, they'll give you, like, a half-assed peace sign or something, you know, and whenever I pass someone, you know, if they, like, move over, a car moves over, I'll go around them, and I'll just, like, throw it up behind me, you know, so just they can see that I'm acknowledging them.
Yeah, there is another signal. It's used in Skyline. If somebody lets you pass a car or even another bike, you'll flash your hazards once or twice, just as a thank you for letting me pass.
I try and acknowledge when people pull over the road, put my hand up in the air.
Or what I noticed last night, because I was on the back, I was like second or third in the pack, when you passed some people, you'd either do the thumbs up to like, it's okay for everyone else to pass, or... You move your your hand back to say no, it's not okay to pass when you can see straight ahead.
Right, if you're the first one passing in a group, there's bikes behind you, want to pass too, and it's a turn.
Hold on, I want to make sure people can hear not squeaky boots.
You know how it's really hard to try to mug people in this thing.
Just gotta shoot them from above.
Like this, and it's like
back into the shed.
There's some oil in this bad boy.
That's what that's about is the fact that you can see further.
Yeah. Right,
and if there's people behind you that want to pass the same car, you put the thumb out saying it's okay. Or get back behind the car that we're trying to pass because there's a car coming.
Who uses
I always put my hand across my back and point to the right side of the road behind me to let people know to go in. Because I think it's easier to see than a thumb from 30, 40 yards away.
I do that too. So.
I usually like wave forward like the pass me wave. And then,
well, I was telling him to get back into the lane that looked like I was wafting a fart.
Yeah.
I thought you were just wafting.
You don't need to waft it at 70 miles an hour.
When I rode with a Harley group in Georgia, where you're just going nice and slow, we had, how do you describe this?
A rainbow?
The hidey-ho wave.
That was...
Like you just don't care.
Take time to notice the view, the scenery.
What I do for that sort of thing is the SWAT tactic, like two eyes, look, whatever. Like, you know, two fingers at your eyes, and then point to whatever you want the other person to see.
Yeah.
Now, when we were riding down to the races last month on Highway 1, I knew that there would be speed traps at somewhere along the way, and I didn't know if Douglas knew because we're doing a pretty good clip. But when we were getting to that spot, I pulled up, and I was like, tap head, eyes, look around. I'm like, I wonder if he understood that.
I got it. It's, I know, yeah. It's probably because I knew about the speed traps, too.
Like a Broadway dance signal.
I guess just Liza wishing she was on Broadway, exactly.
Oh, jazz hands. Oh, and then there's the point to your tank.
Need gas.
Yes. Need gas.
Or need food.
Need food.
Point towards garage, like, need to go to the bathroom, or what else?
Or, hey, suck my dick.
Yeah, I'm about to say, come on, need
let's
blow
pull over so you can suck my dick.
I just think there should be more universal signs. I mean,
there's a ton of them.
Yeah.
A lot of them are just straight up sign language, international sign language.
Well, I think a lot of obstacles is just getting it to where it's universally used. Because, I mean, I was, like, my buddies and I, like, my brother and I, we have, like, a really complex language of, like, where all the cops are. So, you know, we have, like, whole fingers up for, like, number of miles down the road and, like, what side of the road and that sort of thing. And it would be really useful if everyone, we had, like, a standard that we could all adopt. I mean, because these are all colloquial. We all use them because they exist in some form or another.
That's true. There's some that are different depending on where you're from.
Exactly.
Like a lot of people do the whirly bird motion.
Yeah, for the siren.
Cops.
Yeah.
But that also means
rally up.
It's time we can haul ass.
Yeah.
You know, which
you don't have mistake that.
Ideas.
Whirly bird finger with the Harley group meant U-turn.
Right. U-turn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, that meant we missed it. Turn around.
How could you miss it? You're going so slow.
Damn!
Oh, snap.
Whoa.
Okay.
It's too nice.
Yeah, when you're riding, it's 9 out of 15. We'll see how that
The real problem with them is they only have like 4 inches of ground clearance between the peg and the ground.
Yeah, they need a cul-de-sac for a U-turn. We have to go to the next town to turn around.
If you're passing someone, how would you say nice bike using bikes?
I give them a thumbs up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I point and give them a thumbs up.
That's it. It's like I do one finger, one thumb.
I give them the scuba signal.
Dude, that S-400 fucking rat.
Oh, were you the one telling me lately that somebody said since some people wave and some people use the two fingers?
Yeah, I do rock, paper, scissors. My two fingers on my rock, bitch.
Rock, just to fuck you up.
I love that. Rochambeau wave.
Paper.
That's how you see it in the roller. I like that. It settles everything.
It's fun, you know? It's like an impromptu game with another biker you've never met before.
That they don't know they're playing.
98% success rate.
Wait until someone throws rock, though. It was your game.
Paper.
Well, so, hey, since we got a lot of new people here and we haven't heard their crash stories, who wants to tell a crash story?
I'll go first.
Don't all stand up at once. Okay.
All right, the first crash was around this time last year. And I was just heading to work, and there's no glory in a low side. I know. By low sided. On the way to work.
I'm so glad that's gained traction. I started that.
And so the bike was rideable after a little bit of on the site repair. The plastics were totally screwed. Some nice lady helped me pick up the bike, and I went back home and called in sick and tore the plastics off. And over the next few days, I got the bike rideable. And exactly 5 days later, I'm going to work again on a different road. It's about 9:30 in the morning. And a deer hits me on the road.
You've told this story.
We got the deer story.
Oh, we got the deer story.
Yeah, we got the deer story. Okay. We just didn't get the crash before
but,
the deer story.
It was like 5 days
later. No more stories.
Yeah, no more stories for me.
Who else has got a crash story?
I've got a very quick crash story.
Oh. Go ahead.
My quick crash story is I had just bought my Ninja 250. Like the day after I bought it, there was this girl over who I had, you know, kind of a thing for, and so I was like, "Hey, look at this motorcycle I just bought." And she's like, "Oh, can you ride it?" And at the time, I had successfully driven it up the driveway.
This story is already over.
And so, you know, I was like, "Yeah." So I, you know. I very carefully you know, put on all of my stuff. I wasn't quite sure how to get my knee pads on since I had just bought them the day before. But I do that, and so then I pull my Ninja 250 out, and I actually take it. I, you know, drop it down the driveway, drive it around a little circle, drive it back up the driveway, and then you know, she's like, oh, that's so cool. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, I know, it's pretty cool. I take my hands off the handlebars and, like, drop it. Without the kickstand.
And for my next trick.
See, that don't even give a fuck.
Just walk away. Just walk away like an explosion, you know, like in the movie.
Pick it up.
Yeah, slip of doves.
So, yeah, there's plenty of good stories of that.
So, you got one?
My
Adrian?
First crash as well. Again, it's the new into a bike. It's, you know, 600, maybe it's either 600 or 6,000 miles. I can't remember which, honestly. I was coming up backside of 9 off of work, and I was not in the right headspace for doing what I was doing. I was playing with the Boxster.
Yeah. Just for the sake of clarification, everyone knows the backside of 9 is from Los Gatos.
Yes.
Up to the top of
yes.
the hill.
Yep.
That's yeah. what. Now that everybody knows that.
Well, you mean Saratoga,
right? Saratoga okay. side.
Yeah.
I was coming off of work. My brain was slightly fried. I was playing with this Boxster, and I wasn't in the right headspace for doing what I was doing. If I had gotten off just another inch or two off the seat in the corner, I would have been fine. But I was fried from work, and I just leaned it a little bit too far, and according to the Boxster, my rear wheel just disappeared. Low side, cross the double yellow, into the hillside. But scratched up crankcase, broken handlebar, my gear took it all.
Good gear works. Who else?
Actually, yeah.
Lucas, how long have you been riding?
Oh, I've been riding about, I'd say around 2 years right now.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's been a pretty interesting learning curve. So, I mean, I've my first bike, I dropped a couple times. My second bike, I dropped a couple times. And that's pretty much the only two bikes I've ever done anything to. I've had, I think, my first crash ever, I was on Empire Grade and... Or no, it was Bonnie Dune. And I was going around a left-hand turn, and I was going too fast, and I target fixated and went in the dirt. And my bike was just like, and fell over. And I got up, and I was just like, okay, everything's fine. I slept. I didn't think about it. But I had one really bad crash where I totaled that bike, like, fast forward a month later, where I stopped target fixating on every turn and started getting really overconfident. And I was just blasting Empire Grade through those high-speed sweeps, quote-unquote, and I had a really bad line, came in approaching the off-camber downhill left one, right at the yellow line. So I was kind of at a bad line and came in, target fixated, panicked, hit the brakes, did the bike up, went straight off the road. Smashed the front wheel into, like, some kind of a berm, and that catapulted me. Like, oh. I literally went flying, probably got 10, 15 feet of air. I really wish someone got this shit up because it was awesome.
This is why you have the GoPro now?
Yeah. So you guys can watch me, you know, fuck up spectacularly. But it was basically just, like, catapult, and I went straight over the handlebars, and I just remember... like ground sky, ground sky, ground sky.
Actually, a wonderful and, T-shirt that has that ground sky. Ground
sky. Yeah, pretty much. And I just tumbled, and I just got up, and then I had to climb up this hill, and my bike's sitting there, and it's just like so mangled that I couldn't even recognize it. Like the forks are bent at like a 35 degree angle, and like all the plastics were torn off, and like it was disintegrated, and that was
pretty
bad.
How fast do you think you were going?
Oh, I don't even know. It wasn't even fast. It was just that like I was such a dumbass noob. You know, I had no idea how to handle it, and I probably left the road going like 40 or 50 miles an hour. So it's pretty intense. But that's probably the worst thing I've ever done on a motorcycle. So,
Knock, do you have a crash story?
I hit a Suburban once.
Oh.
Lane splitting. Yeah, it was just maybe like...
Lane
splitting? It was bad.
Are they as soft as they look?
No. Oh, no.
Much harder than they look.
Yeah. This was maybe like 5 or 6 months after I started riding, and I sort of felt I was starting to get, you know, more proficient. And I get on the on-ramp, and traffic's bumper to bumper. The moment I get on my on-ramp, it's always bumper to bumper traffic, and I'm super smug about it. I'm like, ha, I got my bike, I'm lane splitting, eat a bag of dicks. Yeah, totally. So I'm excited, I'm confident, I'm 6 months into it, doing really well. And I probably was going just a little too fast for lane splitting. My delta was certainly over than what's reasonable. Sure enough, a guy tries to occupy an open space, you know, in the lane, and I see this happening, and I hit the brake, and didn't slow down quick enough, and hit the rear quarter panel. The bike got lodged in the rear fender well, and I flipped off the bike, but I was only going maybe 30, 20 miles an hour when that happened, so I flipped off like a full-on somersault, landed on my ass. I get up and I look at the guy, and the guy's just looking at me like, what the fuck?
So you didn't, though, like, I've seen people hit a car and then go over it.
I didn't go over the car. I kind of, like, hit it adjacent. It wasn't a rear, okay. Rear full-on.
Because if you hit
rear
it straight on.
Yeah. The guy was turning in, and I was going in this ways. And yeah.
It was just like a glancing blow.
It was a glancing blow. The bike was dead stopped. it ran. It was awesome, though. It was, I started it up, pulled it over the side of the road, and went on eBay, got new forks, and was riding around maybe like less than a week after that. But that was my first real moment where I had to look at myself and go, you want to do this for the rest of your life? Quit fucking up.
Yep.
And, you know, this was well, riding is worth doing well for a long time. So just, you know, for me anyways, that was my moment.
And David, you crashed recently.
Yeah, I did. Well, that was, I got hit by a car recently, but that's not a really interesting story. She just came out of a parking lot, and just a suburban mom not paying attention.
She hit you in the front?
She sideswiped me. I was just going straight down SoCal. I was going the speed limit for once.
Finally got up to the speed limit.
When I looked down for a second, and when I looked back up, this, I don't know, BMW, something's coming out of this, it's coming out of a driveway, and we just collided. I managed to stay up on the bike, so.
Cool.
Insurance check should pay off pretty well. That's what I'm looking forward to right now.
Get a bigger, deadlier bike.
Well, yeah, Eason
actually, yeah,
did that recently.
That's actually an excellent story. I highly recommend getting the Happy Trails engine guards for the V-Strom 650 if you happen to have one.
Crash tested. They're
crash tested, yeah, very much so. I was lane splitting up 680 going to Mount Diablo, and I just an old dude with a, you know, Bluetooth headset, not paying attention, and a PT Cruiser, you know, hit me.
Well, that's all plastic, so
it's all plastic. It was, well, yeah, it was great. Actually, I totaled his car pretty much.
And you didn't even put the bike down.
I totaled his car. Got totaled. Bike was fine. I rode it all the way back to Santa Cruz, stopping for lunch and or dinner, I guess. And,
with a broken hose.
But I did get I got a slightly cracked radiator hose, which is quite the shame. I actually drove the bike back to Santa Cruz with the broken radiator hose, and then back to Palo Alto, which was not such a hot idea.
Because it took you how long?
Because it took about 2 hours, because basically the process for that was...
You guys will enjoy this.
...was you speed up to, like, 50 miles an hour or so, going up 17, and then you turn the bike off.
Because it was...
Because it was overheating. Because...
It was overheating because you didn't want to take the time to put coolant in because it's a complicated process on the V-Strom. Right? You didn't want to take a half hour to disassemble the bike and put the coolant in, so instead, you'll stop every 5 miles.
Can I ask you a quick question? When are we going to do a disclaimer that says we do not endorse anything?
Well, I'm not saying it's a good idea. I'm just saying that's what I did.
Two very different things.
Right, so... So the engine guards are recommended, the other parts not so much. But yeah, point being, and then his insurance sent me like a $5,000 check, and then I bought a C6 with it. So that's pretty cool.
And got the V-Strom repaired.
I got the V-Strom repaired for like $200.
I wish somebody would hit me, like, in a non-injurious manner.
It was kind of like pretty great, right?
I love that he didn't even go down and the car was totaled.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, what happened to the car?
The car, like, all of the panels on the side were ripped off.
What a piece of shit.
Literally, it was just totally gouged in.
So definitely the engine guards on the V-Strom.
Well, okay, so, like, the Happy Trails ones specifically are just fucking massive and they look dorky, but
strong enough to take out.
Along these lines, again with the V-Strom, I can highly recommend the Hepco Becker luggage. Mm-hmm. Some people do a religious thing about metal side panniers versus plastic ones. The Hepco Beckers are plastic, and again, I slid down the side of a truck with them. Mm-hmm. And I was fine. I fishtailed, and he had this big old gouge from along it.
Yeah, and I don't know. The V-Strom itself seems really stable when you get hit by something, which is nice.
Well, it didn't happen amongst anyone here, but I think one of the gnarliest local crashes I recall. What?
Is that the one?
What?
Peg to the dome?
No.
Oh, man.
No.
Mikey?
No, the one that happened probably like 6 years ago. Guy was riding too fast. I forget which road it is, you guys might remember. And there was a family in a minivan coming out from the Christmas tree farm.
Oh, that was that Empire Green.
I don't remember, but I know that they came out. They didn't see anyone coming. By the time they're pulled out into the lane, they see a bike coming at a higher. He was going like behind.
Yeah, that's definitely on Empire.
Very fast, right? So then they tried to get out of the lane and keep pulling forward. Well, he started to correct and crossed over into the other lane, of which they had pulled into and had turned, and he hit the front of the van and went through the windshield.
Oh, shit.
And died. This is with a family with children who were shopping for a Christmas tree.
Merry Christmas.
Son, this is why I don't want you to ride a motorcycle.
That was like,
There was the one a couple of years ago where it was a foreign exchange, there's a foreign exchange student driving on Skyline on the wrong side of the road.
Shit. Fucking shit. Wow.
Nice. Yeah, they just completely spaced which side of the road they're supposed to be on, and boom.
It happens when you come over to Europe to California from Europe and you smoke our Cali weed to drive home.
No, the one you were referring to was
California.
Our friend Mikey. So his dad has R1s and he lets his sons have his R1s after they're 2 years old and he gets a new one. And Mikey probably shouldn't be riding. He's the one who keeps crashing. He's what, in his late 20s, right?
Yeah, if he was here, we'd have to have another like 6 hours of talk.
Right. He keeps riding too fast and crashing, but on this one, and I think everyone was riding home from the races.
MotoGP.
Right? And he goes into a corner too fast, but this is out down like Watsonville.
Yeah, like the
farmland,
back roads,
right?
Of Castroville.
Where we go down there,
yeah.
if you want to ride
long,
fast
roads.
And
25
risk your
life, about, or that area?
Go down to the artichoke fields where there's just big roads and you're not going to endanger anyone. But they have these right angle turns in the middle of them when you're doing like 130 and suddenly, oh, there's a turn coming up. He couldn't make the turn. And he low-sided, but there happened to be a little, I don't know if it was a water station thing that they put a chain link fence around, but he low-sided and the bike started cartwheeling and he hit the ground and he slid underneath a chain link fence and was trapped under it. And people had to run up and like, lifted up to get him out, but when they got him out, the foot peg of his bike, when it was cartwheeling, snapped off, and he hit the ground, and his foot peg was embedded in the helmet about half an inch from the face shield. And we have a picture. His dad still has the helmet. It didn't get through the helmet. It's just plastered into the helmet.
What helmet's that? I want to buy one.
Yeah. Was it a Bell?
I can't remember.
I don't remember, but I think they offered to buy it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's some hardcore shit.
Hardcore shit. So, hey, I want to jump to a new segment. I know everyone has stories about this. Cops and tickets. Is everyone here?
Never gotten a break. Always... Neil, that's it. That's all you
start running.
It sucks.
What kind of stories are you looking for? Like, ways to fight it, or just amusing stories we've had with it?
Amusing stories you've had with it. Nope. Nice cops, asshole cops. Ones you shouldn't have gotten a ticket on, you did. Ones you should have gotten a ticket and didn't.
I have that.
Well,
I
used to own a Hayabusa, and for people that don't know, at the time it was the fastest motorcycle, like, fastest motorcycle in the world.
In theory.
And when I finally sold it, I added up the costs of ownership, like number of tires I went through, because the thing would burn through tires and oil changes and stuff. And I think I spent somewhere, I think it cost me somewhere in the neighborhood of $6,500 in speeding tickets and insurance increases because of those speeding tickets. Oh, and the cost of traffic school, which I was doing every 18 months. There was one time I went in to sign up for traffic school, and the lady actually pulled out a calculator and did the math and said, well, you qualified by 2 days since the last time you took traffic. Here you go. Anyway, I just get, so the point is I got pulled over constantly on my fucking machine. One day, I'm coming back, coming north from Watsonville towards Santa Cruz on Highway 1. And it was a Friday evening, you know, right about 5-6 o'clock. And you know how commuter traffic is really, really whacked. You know what I mean? People are trying to get home. They're sick of their work week.
Yeah.
Especially on a Friday.
It's just one lane each way.
Yeah.
No, it was two lanes.
Was it two lanes there? Okay.
It was between Watsonville and Santa Cruz.
Oh, okay.
And, you know how people kind of drive erratically. Well, people are starting to do this weird shit on the road in front of me. You know, I'm doing maybe 60, 65. And people are like kind of doing this weird ass shit and changing lanes for no reason. And I'm like, God, these people are crazy. You know, I'm trying to go around them and I change lanes to go around somebody and someone will change lanes in front of them like, son of a bitch, you know, and go around like, you motherfuckers. We got up to this, I get up to the section of the road that climbs the hill out of Watsonville that turns into three lanes. And what happens is an on-ramp just continues and starts its own lane. And I'm in the number two lane, and this old lady is getting onto the freeway, but she's not getting on the freeway, right? She's staying on the shoulder of the road, and I'm looking at her like, what in the hell is the matter with you, you psycho broad? And she's looking at me like I'm the devil, right? She's got her mouth open, she's got her eyes wide, she's like, oh my God! I'm like, the fuck is wrong with you, lady? You know, and I'm like, I'm getting the fuck away from you, you know, so I throttle it up to get by her, and a Volkswagen van, like one of the old 70s ones, like, cuts in front of me, and I'm like, son of a bitch! So I get into the right lane to pass the van, and he keeps going. And I have to get, like almost, I start heading towards the shoulder to make sure he doesn't completely take me out. You know, and I throttle it up to, like, a buck 20 or something. I'm like, these people are fucking crazy. These people are out of their minds! What the hell is going on here? So we finally get up the road, it turns back to two lanes, and traffic starts bailing off to the right, and I'm like, oh, thank fucking God, they're finally getting the hell out of my way. And coming into Aptos, I see a little red flash in the corner of my mirror, and I tuck my elbow in, and there's a cop behind me with his lights on, and I go, okay, so I get into the right, and he is immediately behind me, I'm like, okay, he's pulling me over. So I pull off to the side of the road, and I unstrap my glove and I pull one glove off and set it down, and the cop is there, right, like next to my motorcycle. And I'm like, and I look at him and I'm like, well, that's odd. Normally, you know, they run your plate and make sure you're not a felon and make sure you don't have a gun permit, stuff like that, before they actually come up. So I'm, you know, kind of like, well, that's weird. So I go to unstrap my other glove and he takes the keys out of the ignition of my bike. And I'm like, and I look at the ignition and I look at him and I'm like, what the fuck are you doing, man? You know? And he stuffs it in his belt and he takes his hand off his gun. Waits for me to take my helmet off. I set it down on the tank and I kind of look at him and smile, and he says, what in the fuck do you think you're doing? And I said, excuse me. Why didn't you pull over? And I said, I pulled over as soon as I saw you. You know? Do you know how long I've been behind you? I've been behind you since the Santa Cruz County line. And I said, thought to myself, wow, that's about 10, 12 miles. That's a pretty good distance, but I don't say anything, you know. And I go, I've got my insurance card and stuff, but it's under the seat, so if you can give me the keys back, I'll show you that. I just wanted to see your ID. I just want to make sure this bike's registered to you. I checked out. I called you in 5 miles or 20 miles ago or whatever. I was calling in to get a roadblock to stop up you. Why are you running from me? Why are you riding so fast? And I said, riding so fast? What are you talking about? I hit maybe 90, maybe 95. I said, if I was running from you, this thing goes like 190 miles an hour. And he went, fine. I ride motorcycles too, so I'm not going to give you a ticket. But you better slow it down out here. And I went, okay, cool. And he walks back to get back to his car, and I'm like, hey, can I have my keys back? Or, yeah, sure. And I sat there laughing on the side of the road for about 10 good minutes. I can't believe that whole situation took place. You know, and everything's starting to spin in my head, you know, as he's talking about, like, oh, he's following me. Oh, that's why the lady was freaked out. That's why the Volkswagen did a two-lane change, because he was trying to get the fuck out of the way of the cop, too. Okay, yeah.
I can't believe he did.
And I didn't get him.
Man.
So,
you will never get that lucky again.
You know what?
I don't know.
Here, a couple years ago, I don't know if you were here for that, when Rachel, my friend Rachel, had that police KZ bike, but she didn't have it registered, it was out of reg. And she was riding around the neighborhood. She's riding around the neighborhood and she left her bike here and she got her truck and went out driving around. Well, she came back, and because they put in this median up here, she forgot, because on her bike, she always just scoots around. She comes in her truck, she does the illegal U-turn, comes into this driveway here, pulls into the driveway in her truck, because she wants to U-turn and get the parking space on the street. She puts it in reverse, backs up, hears a thud and somebody yelling. And she, what the fuck? She parks, she gets out, and there's a cop on the ground, and his bike is tipped over.
Oh, man.
He saw her do the U-turn, pulled in behind her, thinking she was pulling in to park, put his kickstand down, she put it in reverse, backed up, knocked him over. Well, what happens when you hit a cop? They have to call the CHP to come do a report.
Oh, lols.
The CHP came and started laughing at him and calling other.
You guys gotta see this shit.
Fucking
spectacle.
And she's sitting there with a sheepish look on her face. There's a bike on the ground, and she saw me go hide my bike. It doesn't have any plates. Because it's like just 30 feet away from 8 cops. She's worried it's going to get taken away. And he ended up not getting her a ticket because he was so embarrassed.
Well, he obviously didn't announce his presence with lights or something.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, I thought that was pretty
no
funny.
There was no love lost between agencies. CHP versus the locals versus the sheriffs.
They were still laughing.
Caltrans has protection.
Oh, yeah,
CHP.
I've got one other good one that I'll tell you.
Let me get... Anyone else got a... recent or not?
Yeah, recent? I have a recent one.
Oh, do share.
I don't know if the audience is familiar with hooligan rides.
That seems vaguely familiar.
Give your definition of a hooligan ride.
A hooligan ride is at least the local one is the one the vampires do every year.
That we don't necessarily condone.
It's not condoned by the vampires. Every
We're
year
just
in Santa
go
Cruz.
For a ride. If you follow us, that's your fucking dummy.
Yeah.
Every year in Santa Cruz, there's a group of unidentified motorcyclists who break all the laws.
Is this the same unidentified motorcyclists that run around without any clothes on, too?
It might be. The world may never know. It happens, it's consecutively, you know.
One night a year.
It happens to coincide with the vampire's quote-unquote hooligan ride, which is a very peaceful ride.
you guys weren't on this ride, right?
Depends which ride it was.
We're just supporting our soccer team.
Yeah. 2 months ago.
Anyway.
I did not go to that.
Okay.
So this unidentified group of motorcyclists was driving through the footpaths over the sidewalk.
Well, it started with, if you guys didn't know this, do you know the pedestrian overpass over Highway 1?
Yeah.
A lot of the ride sometimes does that. So you got that spiral encased, cage that you have to ride up and over. And there may or may not be people on it who are scattering. There may have been.
I call that the Eliminator.
There was definitely people on it this year.
which we wouldn't know.
The guy, there was a couple, and the guy was like, fuck you guys, fuck you guys.
And fuck you, and fuck you.
For people who haven't been on Logan Ride, it's the one time of year we go, just balls out, go crazy, wheelies, sidewalks, front yards, whatever you want.
Right.
But everyone knows you're responsible for yourself, and it all is also declared at the beginning of the ride. If you see a cop, scatter.
Right. So anyway, so this group of motorcyclists is riding around and breaking laws, driving over front lawns.
We
parks.
Went through a public park.
What laws? Laws are arbitrary, man.
Yeah,
yeah, I know.
Conditional, fully conditional.
I'm not part of your society.
I'm not part of your laws. Anyway,
it started when we got to this one neighborhood and there was a cop blocking the street as we came up to it.
Yeah, over by Western and
East
Cliff.
Just parked there, and I thought, oh. There must be. Oh, this is when that like bobcat was in town. There was a bobcat spotted downtown,
and
I thought,
mountain lion.
And I thought, oh, maybe the mountain lion is in that area, and they're keeping people out. So we just like, oh, do-de-do, you know, oh, signal for cop, tap the helmet. Oh, we're just going for a nice ride, officer. And we passed.
Right. Anyway, and so then this group, you know, we start going down, West Cliff. Very, very fast.
And for West Cliff, for people don't know, it's the scenic drive along the ocean that has beautiful bike and dog paths, of which
billion-dollar
homes. We may or may not have been on the bike paths.
Really expensive.
It's on the west next to a cliff.
Yeah.
Riding through Ice Plant.
Anyway, and so the cop shows, you know, predictably shows up behind.
Well, and we had seen him. We were doing cat and mouse through the neighborhood.
Yeah,
right.
We saw him pull out, and then I saw him doing, not that I was on it, sort of like cat and mouse, like, okay, he's at the back corner of the pack. He's in the middle of the pack. He's definitely working his way through the side streets as we're on the coast.
Right.
Right, and you were near the back of the pack.
I was near the back because I had a passenger who didn't have any gear except for a helmet.
Right.
And so I was sort of on the back, and also I don't generally go that fast on the rides. I'm usually towards the back. And so the cop, you know, lights up the group, and I pull over, and...
Well, and what happens when... That lights up. I realized it when two people behind me blasted past me. I'm like, ruh-roh.
Just go.
Blue lights. I went, rah! And I took off and started passing people.
Right. So everyone takes off, and I'm like, well.
And I see left. Zoe by himself.
I see. Wait.
What,
Zoe.
No,
yeah,
you
make
Zoe.
A quick left. No, Lonnie. Lonnie made a left. The next street, Zoe makes a left. People are just peeling out.
Yeah. Right. So there's me and one girl, and I think she didn't have insurance or something. And so I pulled over for the cop. You know, I let him on a little bit down a side street.
For the team.
Yeah, and so the cop pulls me over. I, you know, have to sit down. I get yelled at for a little bit. It's like, oh, we're going to track you guys on your website. We've got, you know, multiple squad cars.
And how many calls did he say he got?
He said 15 and...
I thought it was 10 calls in 10 minutes.
Ten calls in 10 minutes about this pack of rogue motorcyclists.
Right. And so I have to sit down with the passenger, and we get yelled at by the cop. And eventually he actually lets me go. but the one thing he cites me for is not having my plates on my motorcycle, which
but
I don't... What?
They were in your pocket.
They were in my pocket, right. I don't generally keep the plates on my V-Strom because it's pretty convenient to drive around like the bridges and stuff and not pay tolls.
This moment is brought to you by the brilliance of Eason.
Do a wheelie through.
Wheelie for safety.
Well, right, and also, like, the original reason I thought of that was, like, okay, well, you know, if you're a motorcyclist, right, you're sitting at lights a lot of times, and they just don't turn, and that's just kind of part of being a motorcyclist. But these days, especially in, like, Palo Alto, a place like that, there's a lot of red light cameras, which will nail you, even if you sat at a light for, you know, fucking half an hour. So I was like, okay, well, how does the red light camera work? It takes a picture of a plate. Well, I'll just take the plate off.
Simple life hack,
right? So that's what I did, and so I haven't ridden with plates for a good 4, 5, 6 months now.
I suggest you put them on.
Well, the cop gave me a fix-it ticket. After that was the conclusion of the hooligan ride. Is I got a fix-it ticket.
Thing is, couldn't you then mount the plates and have the cops sign off on the fix-it ticket?
I didn't have the things to mount them. because the story is if you pull over the top, maybe. Which I have a couple of times now, and you don't have the plates on, you're like, oh, sorry, you know, the dealer gave, if there's a new bike, the dealer gave me a thing, but it was crap, so it fell off. I've got the plates here. I'm meaning to put them on, just haven't got around to it, et cetera, et cetera.
Got around to it. You say the plates like fell off that day. Yeah, I've gone home. That's what I do with my Motard.
Sure. Anyway, so that's basically the conclusion.
I got a good one. When I had my chopper, which had the custom open pipes, and I was going up one just past Mission, and I wasn't speeding or anything, and this cop pulls me over down by the train tracks. And I get off, and I'm like, was there something wrong? And he said, we've been getting a lot of calls lately about loud bikes coming through here. Like, oh, I didn't even really think this was a thing, right? And he pulls out a DB meter.
Oh,
apparently
wow.
There is one in Santa Cruz.
Yep.
And this was the cop who had it. And he goes, so here's what's going to happen. I need you to start your bike. I'm going to go down about 20 feet. When I signal, I need you to rev the bike up, and I'm going to get a reading.
So when do you dump the clutch?
Okay, so I'm gathering signals, and of course, I just do it lightly, like, as little as I can. And he comes back, and he's writing on a pad. I'm like, well, how did I do? He said, I got a 108.
That's loud.
And I said,
get back there. I'm going to try that again.
I said, what is the allowance? I think he said 92?
96.
And I went, oh, well, I was holding back. I can do better. Can we do it again? Because I figure I'm dead, right? Yeah, I'm like, what's
it,
the, anyways, then I said, like, so what's the loudest you've had? And he's not enjoying this game. I'm like, come on, Willie, can I try it again?
Come on, Grumpy Gills.
Not riding. So, turns out it's a fix-it ticket. Or it's $100. The pipes cost $800 to get them fabricated and chromed. I figured I could get 8 tickets. For the cost of a new set of pipes, I just paid it.
That's why some Harley owners keep their stock pipes for when they get those. They'll throw it back on, get a fixed ticket signed off, then swap them back.
I just love it. I could have had the record in Santa Cruz.
Don't
I
you?
Could
have. Yeah. I have a decibel meter.
Yeah.
Bring it down, we'll have some fun.
That will be fun. Anyone else got any good stories?
Also, if you want to get checked out, a lot of the off-road parks, Hollister Hills, they'll do sound checks for you.
Software parts have sound limits too, especially if there's a race. So every year in the valley, we have a classic motorcycle show.
Oh yeah!
And a friend of mine calls me up one Saturday. And says, hey, let's go to the fucking classic motorcycle show. I'm like, okay, cool. unfortunately, we were a little bit late. We're actually a week late. We only thought we were about an hour late. But we rode on the freeway, which is not normal for this guy. Never. If there's a twisty road, if there's anything that's not the freeway between us and it, we're going to take that road. But on this day, we took the freeway, which is Highway 17. We get on the road, and just like a mile into the ride, we see a CHP on a motorcycle on this little frontage road. And then next to the freeway, kind of going along, and I see it, and I look at him, and he looks back at me, and I nod, and yeah, I saw it, and he's like, okay, so we slow down to make sure we're doing the speed limit. And sure enough, the next little on-ramp, the CHP gets on behind us, and he sits behind me for a little while, and then he passes me, and he sits behind my friend Bill for a little while, and then he passes Bill, and he kind of opens the throttle a little bit. Now, Bill turns around, and he looks at me, and he points at the ass end of his bike, like, you know, hand signals, get on my ass, follow me, right? And I'm like, what is this craziness? So Bill lights it up, and he gets right behind the CHP. Now, the CHP's on a motorcycle, by the way, just in case you didn't get that. So he gets right behind the CHP, and we're doing like 75, 80 miles an hour on Highway 17. Speed limit's 50, you know. Yeah. And I'm like,
this is kind of stupid. What the fuck are we doing? This is retarded. And we're cruising along, but it's kind of fun because cars are getting the fuck out of the way. And we're doing like 80. This is cool. So the cop, like, I can see him because he's got an open face helmet, you know, and I see him look in his rear view mirror and he sees us behind him and he gets a nasty look on his face. He's like, what the fuck? And he pulls over, right? And I just shut the throttle down. Whirr, you know, and he gets behind Bill, right? And I just slow way the fuck down. He gets behind Bill and I kind of start sneaking back up, you know, and Bill opens it up to like 95 on Highway 17, and I'm like kind of keeping a safe distance, you know, but I'm with him going, oh fuck, what is this idiot doing? This is fucking crazy, but we're doing like 90, so yeah, right on, I'm having a good time. So of course the lights come on, you know, and he pulls us over and he walks up and he says, what the hell do you think you're doing? And Bill takes off his helmet and he says, I thought you wanted me to lead. The CHP busts a gut laughing. You wanted me to lead? What the hell are you talking about? And Bill says, hey, do you know this dude such and such? He goes, yeah, I know that guy. He goes, tell him, he gave him some weird nickname. He goes, yeah, tell him, like, Lumpy said hi. Or he's like, you guys get the fuck out. Like, don't do that shit again.
Damn. Well, you're good at telling stories, man.
On that note, I think we're going to wrap it up. I want to remind everyone, if you want to contact us, you can reach us at recyclemotorcyclegarage@gmail.com. Thanks, everyone, for coming and helping out. I'll call everyone out and give a shout-out again. It was me, Liza. We got Nog.
Hey.
Lucas.
What up?
David.
Howdy.
Douglas.
Asleep.
John.
Here.
Megan.
Hey.
Eason.
What?
And Adrian.
Still mostly.
Thanks for coming.
And Zoe.
And Zoe.
And Zoe.
Bye.
Bye. Cool.